Before I start, I just wanted to remind you that if you haven't listened to what Dave said last week, I think it was absolutely brilliant. Go and have a listen on the website. He was talking about the thing. There was a lot that struck me about what he said, but I love the fact that he started by saying, "Don't bother starting your New Year's resolutions in January. There's too much good food still around." And it's totally true. And there's a lot to distract us in January. So, you know, think February. But thinking about what God has got for us this year is just so important. And it inspired what I'm going to say today, because it got me to thinking about what God has got for me and has got for us as a church in the coming year. In our group, we were talking a lot about people and how important people are to this group of people here and in our lives in general. So I make no apology for the fact that I'm going to talk about relationships again this morning. And I know I bang on a lot about relationships. Often when I'm here and I'm speaking to you, that's what I'm speaking about. And that's for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I only say what God tells me to say, and He tells me to talk about relationships. But I also think there's a particular reason why God asks me to talk about relationships. And that's because for so many years of my life, relationships were a complete mystery to me. I had no idea how they worked. I didn't even realize that I didn't know what relationships were about. That's how much they were a mystery to me. I thought I had friends. I now understand how much more there is to relationships than what I had now. But I still believe I have only scratched the surface of that. God's had me on a journey for about the last 10 years with starting to speak to me and show me what more there can be in a relationship, both with Him and with other people. Even though I've been a Christian for many years before that, I had only really scratched the surface of what a relationship with God was like. And I'd also only really ever scratched the surface of what a relationship with another human being could be. In all its joy and pain, because it has two sides. So that's why I think God keeps telling me to talk to you about that, because I have personal about it. But also because it's so important. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I have a lot of scriptures. Kate came in to do the media this morning. Thank you very much, Kate. Oh yeah, and Pete sorted out the fact that we couldn't get it to work. We've just been pressing buttons randomly for about, well, Chris had for about half an hour and probably made it worse, but Pete sorted it out. Yeah, Kate, I'd stuck my list of scriptures on the side, on the table, and yeah, it's long. I can't tell you how much I'm going to go into any of those, because before I go any further, I'm just going to pray for myself. Because, Father, I thank you that you've given me a word to share this morning. And I pray that as I speak, that you will guide me, that you will highlight the things in my notes, the lot of notes that you've given me, about what is really important today, what you want to say to everybody gathered here today. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word is anointed. It's nothing to do with me, it's all to do with you. Thank you, Father. Okay. So, sorry, Kate, I can't tell you which ones of the scriptures I'm actually going to want, or possibly even in what order. So, keeping you on your toes. I'm sure God will help. So, why? Why bother having a deep relationship? And what even is a deep relationship? Because we've all got relationships. We've all got relationships with so many different people. You can have a relationship with someone who you see on the checkout at the supermarket. You can see the same person every week. You could see that person for years, and that's a relationship. But is it a deep relationship? Do you even know their name? You might do. But you probably don't know much else about them. And you know, there are people in this church who I've known for 15, plus years. And I don't know much more about them than that, their name. And that was what God was speaking to me last week. That's not his heart. His heart is that we have deep relationships. You can't have a deep relationship with everyone. Let me just put that out there. Because a deep relationship means your heart beating with their heart. Like God's heart beats with ours. That's depth. And there are steps on the way. That takes time. That takes vulnerability. That takes intimacy. That takes so much. But depth doesn't look like having known someone for a long time. Depth looks like knowing what makes somebody tick. Knowing what's important to them. And them knowing what's important to you. Because depth of relationship is two-sided. It's not, I know all about you, but I keep everything about myself hidden. It's about we beat together. We pull in the same direction. We hold each other up. We laugh together. We cry together. That's depth. So, why? Because I said it takes a lot. Why? Two things. First thing, we are made in God's image and likeness. It says that right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. Don't worry, you haven't missed a scripture. I didn't write that one down. It says we were made in God's image and likeness. His image and likeness is that he is a relationship. Three parts: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Completely in relationship with each other, serving the other, knowing what makes the other tick, pulling in the same direction, loving together, crying together, sacrificing for each other. That's the image that we have of God, the triune being, the Trinity. And that is how we were designed. So we were not designed to live alone. We were designed for that kind of depth of relationship, both with God and with other people. The three parts to it. We were made to operate that way. So that's why. Number two, if you are somebody, and I can't say I'm one of them, I'm quite a rebel at times, but if you are somebody who likes to be told this is what you should be doing, the Bible commands you to have deep relationships. God commands us. In Mark 12, when Jesus is asked what the most important commandments are, he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So not only are we made for it, but we're reminded that that's what we're supposed to be doing. God says it's as important as loving him. But as I said at the start, it's hard. It makes you vulnerable. It gives you the opportunity for people to hurt you. It takes time and effort and sacrifice. What I'm going to try and do over the next, don't know how long, we'll see where God goes, is convince you that it's worth it. That we don't just do it because we're told to or because we're designed to, but it's also massively worth it. So, There are two arms to my benefits of deepening relationship. One is personal, but one is also for us as a body. So I'm going to go there first. We as a church are stronger if the relationships between people in this church are deeper. What do I mean by that? If you look through the Bible at what God says about the church, there are so many references to the church as a body of believers, a physical body, a group of people. It's all about bodies. There's something very important about your body. Your body doesn't work unless all the bits are connected to each other. So it's all very well, and you'll hear lots of preachers, I'm sure over the years you've heard hundreds of preachers of people saying, don't be a foot if you're meant to be a hand, don't be an ear if you're meant to be an eye, you know, everyone bring their own bit to the body and be part of the body. And we were talking about a little bit, Dave was talking a little bit about that last week. What do you bring? What's your bit? What's God saying to you about what you bring? But actually, the way a body works, even if you're a little finger, you're useless unless you're attached to the hand. The hand is useless unless it's attached to the arm. The brain, even the brain, the really, really important brain, if it's not attached through the brain stem down the... Thank you, I'm glad I'm getting my anatomy correct. don't correct me. if it's not connected, it's useless, completely pointless. And so God can have given you something brilliant for this church, but if you are not connected to the rest of the body, that thing that you've got to bring might as well be useless, even if it comes from God. And connection means blood flowing in both directions, oxygen. It's all those things that flow constantly. It's not a tiny little tenuous kind of, I connect and I don't connect and I connect and I don't connect and I connect on my terms and I don't, you know. This is not a condemnation. I get it, connection's hard. But connection is so important. I've lost my place in my notes because I went off. Connection means you are motivated to do your bit too. I don't come and stand here. I don't spend my Friday going through all the scriptures and writing it all out. Because I choose to, I do choose to, but that's not why I do it. I don't do it because it's my job. I don't do it because it's my duty. I don't do it because God told me to. Although all of those things have an element of truth. The reason I'm here speaking to you and doing this is because my connection with you guys motivates me. There are people here and I look out and I know that God has got something amazing to say to you and I love you and I want you to hear it. And if he chooses to use me to do that, that's great. My motivation for doing it is because of my connection with you. I get out of bed on a Sunday morning because I'm connected with you. Because I have a relationship with you. And I want that relationship to be deeper. Because that will motivate me even more to want to leap out of bed and preach, not crawl out of bed and preach. Do you know what I mean? Can't decide which scripture I'm going to next. Give me a minute. Hey, look what I remembered. Might actually be able to read my Bible for a change. There we go. Ta-da! This is what getting old looks like. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." I love that "you are no longer strangers and foreigners" bit. Connections between us, deep relationships in this church, means that we are not strangers and foreigners to each other. We are part of a house built on Christ's foundation. We are stronger together with that depth. We are family, it says. We were talking yesterday as a leadership team about what family means. Like, we talk about church as a family. What does family mean? Family's big. Like, you drop stuff in a heartbeat for family. If that's what we want to pursue as a body, we have to look at the individual relationships within us. This one was nice. I like this when I found this one. Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, "The whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So that connection... No, 16, not 25. There we go. Yeah. So when we each do our own part, when we're fitted together, that helps everybody grow. We're not doing it out of individual, "I'm doing my bit, you're doing your bit, you're doing your bit." Yes, that's true. But when they fit together, everybody grows. We are healthy and growing and full of love. What a wonderful picture. I love that. Personally, deepening relationships is good for us personally as well. There are so many benefits to having a deeper relationship with people. There's some lovely ones in Proverbs. If you have a look at Proverbs 17, verse 17. It says, "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." Wouldn't you want someone who was always loyal to you? Don't worry about it. Oh. "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." A friend is always loyal. Wouldn't you love somebody who was always loyal? No matter what you said, no matter what you did, they've always got your back. I'd love that. I've got it in a few cases. And then there's the bit about a brother. I don't think that just means a blood brother. I think it means there's an even deeper level of relationship than the friend who's always loyal. The brother is born to help in time of need. I think that's another deeper level of friendship, of relationship. They're there for you no matter what. They were born for that. You know when you say you were born for something? I was born to cook. I was born to help my brother in time of need. I'm coming back to Proverbs because there's another good one, but I want to look at Ecclesiastes first. Don't you love a bit of Ecclesiastes? Good knowledge, good wisdom. That's if I can find it. Ecclesiastes, where are you hiding? No, it really has. It's fallen out of my Bible. Go on, Steve. Ecclesiastes 4, 7 to 12 has loads and loads of benefits. This is the case of a man who was all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's also meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's so much you can do on your own, but there's so much more you can do with others. Everything is better. I'll go back to Proverbs, because apparently that one is in my Bible, whereas Ecclesiastes is gone. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. I did warn you, I've got a lot of scriptures, didn't I? As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. The idea of two blades sharpening each other. It's a two-way thing. It's not just that one, it's not, the picture is not a sharpening stone and a knife. It's two knives sharpening each other. It's not the sharpening stone gives and doesn't get anything back and the knife gets sharpened. It's both. It's equal. And that's what depth looks like, I think. Everyone puts something in and everyone gets something out. It's good for all of us. John 15, 12 to 13. Now, imagine you've got a friend like this. I command you, there's a command again, to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. That's tough. That's deep. That's the love God has for us, that he laid down Jesus for us. That's really challenging. But if you had a friend who was prepared to lay down their life for you, a human friend, doesn't necessarily mean physically either. You know, it could be stepping in front of a bullet, but it's more likely that it's going to be putting aside what they want to do what you need, or to do something with you. Looking at your needs before their own. Or for you, being a friend looking at somebody else's needs before your own. It's sacrifice. And it's hard. But because it's two-way, you get that in return. If you're prepared to be willing to sacrifice your needs on behalf of others, you get that back. So how do we do it? I don't believe that this happens overnight. It definitely doesn't. And it's steps, okay, people? It's baby steps. For me, I didn't even know how to have a relationship with someone that lasted more than a couple of weeks. There was no way 10 years ago I was ready for the depth of relationship that requires laying down your lifetime sacrifice. Because A, I didn't even know how it existed, and I had not a clue how to even start to build it. And I'm not standing here and saying that I think this is something that everybody can do overnight, or even tomorrow, or even next year, or even in 10 years' time. But what I'm saying is the benefits of deepening your relationship by just a touch will show you that it's worth it. And another touch, and there's greater joy. And another touch, and there's greater safety. And another touch, and you feel the love pouring back. And there are practical ways that we can do it, that we can take personal steps. But can I reassure you right now, you are not on your own. Because this is something God designed us for, and something he wants for us, it is something he empowers to. I love the song that you sang this morning, that we sing quite often, that you're running after me. I love the fact that actually I always have that picture in my head that it doesn't kind of matter how slowly I'm moving. I'm moving and God's just running. And I remember being told years ago when I was like a teenage baby Christian, all you have to do is take one step towards God and he rushes in your direction. And I think that's a fantastic picture of God. All we have to do is be willing. And he does the work. So how can we be willing? The hardest bit is making the decision that you're willing, I think. Because as soon as you say, I want to go deeper with someone, you know that it requires you opening something of yourself. We all have hidden depths. They're called hidden depths for a reason. We like to hide them because we feel safer that way. But God is the ultimate safety. He won't ever let us down, even when our friends will. Have a look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Assuming Corinthians is still in my Bible today. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. The principle of sowing and reaping is something that we're probably all familiar with. It's very much a Christian sort of principle. You sow, you reap, you sow, you reap. It's obviously real in the natural world because that's what the image we're given is. But I think it's important to remember in relationships too. If you want to have a deep relationship with someone, you have to be prepared to give something. If you want someone to give something to you, you have to be prepared to give to them. And I think it's really good to set that as a principle when you're thinking about it. For years, I thought the reason that I didn't have deep friendships was their fault. Why am I not still friends with the people I was at school with? And everybody else has got these friends that they were still at school with, that they were still friends all the way through university, and they're still friends now as grown-ups. Why haven't I got that? They never bothered writing to me when I was at uni. They never called me. They never met up with me during the holidays. It's their fault. They obviously didn't want my friendship. Hang on a minute, did I ever write to them? Did I ever call them? Did I ring them when I was back in the holidays and say, hey, let's meet up. How's your term been? No. Yes, they didn't either, but I didn't either. You know, it's a two-way street. I didn't invest. I didn't sacrifice. I didn't make any effort at all. I love the picture of Paul and Timothy's relationship in 2 Timothy, right at the beginning, in chapter 1, right at the beginning. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's in prison, and he's writing to him, and he refers to a lot of stuff in that indicates, sorry, I can't see you when I do that. He says a lot of stuff that indicates the depth of their relationship. So I'm going to read a few verses. From verse 3, it says, Timothy, I thank God for you. He is the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I know that you sincerely trust the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother, Eunice, and your grandmother, Lois. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So you must never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for God. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer for me for the proclamation of the good news. It is God who saved us and chose us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the coming of Christ Jesus, our Saviour, who broke the power of death and showed us the way to everlasting life through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of this good news. And that is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. That's not a passage about relationship, but it indicates a lot about relationship. Paul and Timothy pray for each other, often and daily. They lay hands on each other and pray for specific things, for gifts, for power. They remember with fear, with tears and joy, the times that they've had together. They encourage each other. They are honest about what's hurting. They're honest about what they need, what they're struggling with. They're strong for one another. They suffer together. When one is suffering, the other suffers. They love each other's company. They are an example for each other. They give practical help. Those are little practical things that you can see in the depth of their relationship when Paul writes to Timothy in the way that he does. Don't bother putting it up, Kate, but in Hebrews 10, I'm sure you're all familiar with the verse, the Christians are told not to stop meeting together. It takes time to build a relationship. It takes time together. It takes putting aside some time, repeatedly, often, to get to know each other, to do things together. And so I would encourage you. I believe that this is what God has got for me this year. ask him, is this something you'd like me to do this year? Invest in my relationships, or invest in a particular relationship. Pray for that person. Spend time with them. Do things together. Eat together. Come with an open attitude. Be honest with them. It has the most incredible benefits. We want to create opportunities like that within this group of people to do this kind of thing. Opportunities where we can gather in groups, where we can get to know each other a bit. Maybe we can share some meals, where we can gather people who do things, who like to do things, and do them together. I'm absolutely passionate about gathering people around my table to eat. You have great conversations while you're eating. Something about food, it just makes the conversation flow. And I love to do that, and I do it as often as I can. Our leadership group, the six of us, we meet every week, pretty much. We set aside that time because we know that if we're going to do what God is asking us to do in terms of leading this church, our relationship is important. So we set aside the time to meet together, not just to plan what we're doing on Sunday. It's a lot more than that. It's about investing in those relationships with each other so that we can lead as a group, knowing where each other are at. I have a running group, a group of girls, ladies, who I run with. And you would not believe the things that we talk about while we're running around Nailsy. I mean, if you were to follow us round, you'd turn red. but there's something sometimes about doing something with somebody where you're not eyeballing. You're not there to have a deep and meaningful conversation. Where just some stuff comes out and you can be real. It's boundary breaking. And I've told those ladies some things that I've probably not told very many other people. And I don't know them enormously well, and we don't do very much else together, but there's a depth there through that activity. And there are different levels, people. You can't be life-sacrificing depth with everybody. But God will show you who the people are. The people you have that natural connection with. You just go, oh, yeah. There's something about us. We get each other already. They're the people that God can show you how to deepen that relationship, to invest further. One final scripture to leave you with is from Thessalonians. Which is also hiding. I missed out loads. Where did my James bit go? Oh, yeah, healing. Lay hands on each other and get healed. Yeah. I knew there was a bit in there somewhere. right. Thessalonians, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 says, "And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows towards you." Because we're not trying to expend our own love in connecting with other people and deepening those relationships. That love comes from God. Yes, we're not on our own. Yes, he will catch us when we fall. Yes, he will show us how to heal things that when we make mistakes with those friendships. Yes, he will love us back to wholeness when our friends hurt us, because all of that will happen. But the root of it all is God's love. When we connect with him and we receive that love poured out for us, accept it, not just know about it, accept it, he will fill us to overflowing. And that overflowing is where we get what we need, those resources that we need to invest in others. It all comes from him. It's not in our own strength. But it does take a decision where we say, yes, this is something I want to do. And he says, yes, I will give you what you need to do it. So I'm going to pray for us. Father, I thank you that you have such fullness in our lives for us. Fullness that we can enjoy in relationship with you and with others. A life that is full of joy and safety and love. Father, we pray that you will show us as a new year starts what you've got for us in our relationships this year. Father, I pray that you will highlight particular people, particular groups, particular situations where you are empowering us with your love to overflow to those relationships. And Father, I thank you that when you ask us to do something, you give us everything we need to do it. Because your yoke is easy. Thank you, Father.